This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now that he's off the air, here's Seth's bet. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Pigs.
On a Wednesday.
Wait, what?
We're surrounded by pigs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, man.
Whoa. Because
I disagree with that.
That's Figgy Fig.
I felt like our Super Bowl radio row thing.
We were pretty clean.
Yeah, I feel like everybody was clean.
Well.
Mm-hmm. This might be a hot take. I feel like we're the cleanest station at Odyssey.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
I want to.
We keep it pretty clean here.
I want to visit that
we
at some point.
We keep it 100.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
We keep it 100.
To be fair, I do want to, like, I do kind of want to then go back to the people who did the majority of the cleaning on Super Bowl, like at Super Bowl with the house, and see how clean they feel like we are as a collective.
We got into arguments because it wasn't clean enough.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
Who left this dirty plate in the sink?
That's right. Because you said, like, you've seen various things left around here at Lopez and the 610 studios. And the only thing that I immediately think of was not something that was actually dirty. It just has the appearance of being dirty, which is the time that Seth accidentally left his drawers.
Oh, yeah.
On the table.
Yeah, he did do
But they were clean. Like, he had washed them. It was just
It draws. Just probably fell out the bag or
I'm
something.
I'm going to fold my laundry in the studio.
That's called multitasking. You don't watch TV while you fold your laundry or whatever. He was just, let me do a radio show while I fold my laundry. I think that's fine. It's okay with it, you know?
Right.
I hope that you are getting some stuff done while you rock with us on Sports Radio 610 on this Wednesday. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. We'll talk later in the show at noon to my guy, our guy. Mm-hmm. Welcome you into it. Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports. He's been at all of the... I don't think he's been at all the All-Star Bowls, but he's been at the All-Star Bowls. He obviously was at the Combine, so I'm interested in getting some of his takes on some of the guys that we are seeing mocked to your Houston Texans. We'll talk to him at 12. I actually do want to start with a take, a takey take that we've seen. In fact, you heard it a few times. I think it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
At least one end of the spectrum you will feel is a hot take because you have we are sandwiched nicely on the day parts and kind of in I guess philosophical ideology between Payne and Pendergast in the morning and the drive with Sterner and Hughley in the afternoons on this particular thing when it comes to the offensive
line. We are the collective voice of reason.
Oh, I wasn't going to go that far, but if you would like to do that, please go ahead. Let us know if you agree on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
There he is. What up, Jim? 713-572-4610. Because and you probably just heard it just a moment ago.
Yeah.
Clint Sterner, very heavy on the lack of optimism mm-hmm. when it comes to this offensive line. When you look at, you know, moving on from Laremy Tunsil, I think he was okay with that portion of it. But mm-hmm. then the acquisitions, or maybe you could say the lack thereof, that they've had
right.
to this offensive line. And then I think it's fair to categorize Sean and Seth in the morning as having a level of optimism that's probably underscored by the thought that, hey, as long as you have, you know, better performances across, like just a consistent, rather, level of performances across your five offensive line spots, you will be a better offensive line
yeah.
than last year. And this is where I come to, especially with a little bit of news, or maybe not news, but a little interesting nugget mm-hmm. that Jonathan Alexander, one of our faves, he covers this team, this Texas team, for the Houston Chronicle. He put out his latest mock draft, and we can circle back around to that if you would like as well. But in that, he dropped just a little nugget where he said, quote, "The Texans are unlikely to sign another starter mm-hmm. in free agency." To me, meaning that what you have is largely what you're going to have going to the season outside, of course, your draft class. And I immediately went to, oh, so the offensive line, like
you are
competing with the guys that you have, which means there's a high likelihood that Laken Tomlinson is a starter for your team. You're definitely going to have like a Juice Scruggs or Jarrett Patterson starting. Obviously, you had the feeling that you were going to have a Blake Fisher or a Titus Howard starting as well. And I'm not super excited about that. And I think we've been clear about that in the conversations that we had.
No, we have. And to just sort of kind of hone in a little bit more on that, you know, the reason we disagree with necessarily both and kind of fall in the middle.
Yeah, let's create some beef.
No, well, it's not a beef. I just look at it differently. And I think you and I are in lockstep on this one. All right. So if you think, well, how the hell can you have optimism? As the afternoon show, Clint specifically, if you fall on that line, then you're saying that they can't be better, that this offensive line coach, who clearly had a different philosophy than Bobby Slowick.
I sure would hope so.
You know, and it seems like that's apparent now.
Yeah.
Can maybe implement his things and be better. You know, you're ignoring that. You also are ignoring the fact that, you know, there are signs, you know, that Titus Howard has been, you know, more than...
Okay, Ace of Base, let me see it. What's happening with the signs?
More than adequate.
Did they open up your eyes?
I like that. More than adequate at left tackle. And certainly the things that you can do on the interior. And you've added some guys that compete. You're ignoring that, too. On the other hand, if you're saying, hey, you know, we're optimistic about this, and you're... And I don't mean to put words in their mouth, but this is what I got out of it. The thought of, well, it can't be worse... That's bad, too, because it can't be worse should not be the bar.
No, that can't be the bar. Well, and here's the thing. It could be the bar if you look at this from the perspective of C.J. Stroud is how old?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that you go with C.J. Stroud goes. If I'm going to oversimplify mm-hmm. your team building aesthetic and all these, you go with C.J. Stroud goes. That's an oversimplification, and I acknowledge that on the front end. But if you want to look at it and you go, hey, what is this, you know, what is your window going to be for ultimately winning a championship, which is the goal of every organization, mm-hmm. but particularly this organization, is pretty much the Joe Burrow, as long as I'm here, you have a chance to win.
Yes.
Right? That's what you're doing here. However, you, one, have how many more years, a couple years of him on a rookie deal,
mm-hmm.
and that is a different level of window that we talk about.
Yeah.
On top of that, you've already pushed a lot of chips into the center when it came to team building. And just a better than atrocious offensive line mm-hmm. is not the type of foundational piece as an offensive line is supposed to be that is going to vault you into the places of being a real time contender. Talk less of like a Super Bowl
right.
champion. And so it would almost feel like, and I understand I'm being a little bit this is a little bit of a radioactive way of saying this, mm-hmm. right? So I acknowledge that on the front end, but like it almost feels like lighting a year on fire of contention, being like, well, the offensive line is not going to be terrible. It'll be all right, and we'll see what we can make out of that. That feels like lighting a contention possibility mm-hmm. on fire in some way.
Well, and the other thing, and the reason that I don't fall in line with that and the morning show guys on this is because, you know, everything about this organization is win now. Win now, win now, win now.
2 year windows, baby.
Yes, exactly. So if you're saying it can't be worse, that's not a win now approach. That's just not. So on the one hand, You can't agree with that. I don't agree with that, because win now means go get another starter, go draft a guy that can move up if you have to, that can step right in, at least compete and maybe win that job, and maybe, you know, if you're lucky, be really, really good. On the other hand, you can't say, well, there's no way you can be optimistic, because there is a way to be optimistic. We just laid it out. The other thing here that I think is in play, and this kind of scares me, frankly, is Cole Popovich, is Nick Cayley, is D'Amico Ryans, is Nick Caserio, are they falling into the trap that is prevalent in all sports of, well, I can fix him.
That's right.
I can fix him.
I'll get the absolute best out of him.
Yeah, I know it didn't work out over there. I know he hadn't been real good here yet under the whole regime, but I can fix him.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous thing to do, because more times than not, you can't fix him.
Especially when you're doing the thing. Well, even if you could, right?
Yeah.
You're stacking a lot of ifs. Yeah. And this is where I will be very counterintuitive to trying to maintain listeners, especially understanding our American dislike of math. But I'm going to use math here, right? When you are talking about probabilities, and maybe I should use gambling, the math that Americans like.
Yeah. Use spades.
Right? AIDS. When you start doing a parlay, and you're like, all right, these are the odds of this one thing happening. That's cool. When you start adding more and more legs to a parlay, what happens to the likelihood, right? First and foremost, that potential winnings gets really big, but that's because the opportunity of hitting that is really tough. And so if you look at the parlay that the Texans are putting together, especially if we go under the assumption of what Jonathan Alexander is reporting in the Chronicle in his latest mock draft, where he said that he heard that the Texans are unlikely to add another starter in free agency.
Yeah.
That means there's some, we can just go offensive line, right? One of the ifs, can Tytus Howard play left tackle in his current iteration in 2025?
Right. And are you saying, well, I can fix him?
There you go. If number two, is Blake Fisher going to continue to develop on the right, in the spot of right tackle? I think that one's not as big of, I actually feel very relatively comfortable. I know you two maybe not nearly the same.
Well, relatively.
Do you continue to see growth in the center position where one of those guys can find the whole complete package of center as opposed to just one is more of a better pass blocker, one is more of a better run blocker, doesn't really have the entire
and the communication package. Aspect.
Lake and Thomas.
Which was a big problem.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Although Jarrett Patterson, it seemed like once he was better. Under center that it was definitely in a better space. Is Jarrett Patterson, or sorry, not Jarrett Patterson, is Lake and Tomlinson, one, going to continue to be consistent when it comes to health-wise, which I think I'm cool with, but is he going to then elevate his play and return himself to a place where he had been prior in his career but definitely wasn't with Seattle? Is whatever rookie offensive lineman that is now inevitable on this offensive line, are they going to come in, whether it's Josh Simmons, are they going to come in off a patellar tendon tear and be actually good off of that in a way that it seems like necessarily offensive linemen have not necessarily been off of that type of injury? Or are they just going to come in, are they going to have struggles? Are they going to immediately jump into a place where they're starter caliber?
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of ifs you're stacking on top of. You know, is Cole Popovich going to be a significant upgrade on offensive line? Is Nick Cayley going to, you know, be a significant upgrade and able to get all of these things in lockstep? That's a lot of ifs that you're stacking up on this parlay that we're putting together. And that's my real concern.
And mine too. You know, because on the one hand, you're saying can't be optimistic. Sure you can. But on the other hand, you're saying, you know, it can't be worse. Well, that's not a winning formula. Here's the other part of this. Going back to the Jonathan Alexander little nugget that you talked about. There are other starters. There are other starters.
That's fair.
That you would like to see. Forget the offensive line. You know, the interior defensive line. I mean, if you look at that right now, are you good with that? Or is that also falling into the, oh, we can fix them or we'll get better, you know, that kind of thing?
I think that one is less big, but it is kind of interesting because you came into this offseason where people around or people talking about the team were like, yo, interior defensive line is definitely a place where they would like to upgrade. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, you brought in Sheldon Rankins. You can always come home. And last time he was here, he put up 6 sacks on that interior of the of the defensive line. And that was before you had Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter as bookends. Talk less of the other depth that they've added in there with Tim Settle and all in that interior portion of it as well. However, I don't think that you can rightfully say that you have a starter, like real starter caliber, especially in the way that you were hoping to grab one technique nose tackle.
The win now one technique nose tackle. If you're talking about, it's the same premise. If you're going to win now on the offensive line, you can't feel really good about it, you know, one way or the other. Same thing with the interior defensive line. If you're in win now mode, I'm not saying you have to have like a super stud.
I don't know if I'd go that far as to compare those two. I think you can do what you're doing. Like you had a great defense in a similar way, right?
Last year. You did win with this defense last year, but to elevate it to a dominant defensive front, you're not there yet.
Right. So I think that's interesting. I do wonder if that then, I've been kind of viewing the draft as, you know, when. I'm saying this like this is major. You know, day one and day two picks, and then you have your day three picks. And it feels like that maybe that note that you're probably not going to sign another starting caliber free agent. And we were probably already here, to be fair. But it seems to solidify that one of those day one and day two picks probably going to interior defensive line in a way that, you know, maybe you could get yourself and, you know, have a concern that maybe, all right, you don't go to that place. Another thing that I thought about, just in that nugget, the idea that the Texans are not going to, or rather unlikely, I don't want to change the reporting, unlikely to sign a starter free agent or starter caliber free agent for the remainder of this free agency period. That leaves open the possibility of trading for one, right? Like, do you think that, what do you think the likelihood is or the possibility that Nick Caserio still has that trading itch in this time period and finds another starter with a trade, whether it's now or even within the draft where you know, as teams get, you know, antsy for things, you use some of that capital there.
I would prefer to get a more proven, let's say, whatever, interior or tackle, either way. But then you're sacrificing draft picks in this draft more than likely. Now, I don't know what draft pick. It probably certainly wouldn't be the, you know, first or second round, but still, you're in a place where you're sacrificing draft picks. But if I had to pick one or the other, yeah, bring me a proven guy.
I think it's a big possibility he's still looking to trade because look at the picks from the Laremy Tunsil deal. Like, I know, I think it's a second round pick for next year, right? I think he got a third this year and a second next year. I mean, I don't know where them picks going to be because Washington was pretty good last year. I don't know if they're going to get back to the NFC Championship game, but I could see Nick possibly using one of those picks, maybe not their own picks, but I could see him using one of those picks if the player is right.
I just think you need a proven starter, at least one guy. You
on
know,
the offensive line is what you're returning line. To?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're going to have to trade then.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, admittedly, Seth's own perspective on this is like you can get really solid offensive line play just kind of having, with all due respect to the dudes, like some dudes and then a few kind of real studs on the line. And I do, like, I continue to ask, where are your studs? Because again, that comes back to the notion of if maybe you go, oh, well, Tytus Howard has the capability of being a stud. That feels like an if to me, and I don't know that I'm stretching too far by saying him being a stud on this line is a little bit of an if. Who are the other studs? Are you saying like one of your rookies is going to come in? Because that is inherently a rookie, and I don't want to put the pressure of not just finding your way into the starter level play in the NFL, but also then to be a stud for the guys around you. Like, that's the thing that I question is like there is a midline or there's space between not as bad as you were last year and start Super Bowl caliber offensive line. And within that spectrum, it feels like the conversation is, oh, well, you're going to be better, and that's the low end of it, or maybe where Clint is, where it's like, yo, you have not done anything to make yourself a Super Bowl caliber. I think you have to be somewhere in between. And right now, it feels like you're on the lower end of that.
Or as the A32 said, and it's true, when you say it can't be worse, that also means it could be the exact same, and that's unacceptable.
Fair enough. That's why
I feel like you have to make that move.
Do you feel like they can get away with being just the average offensive line, or do they need somebody elite on the offensive line?
I think they could probably get away with it because of your quarterback, but average, I don't know how far it takes you, no matter how good your defense
I'm just kind of curious, too, because they gave up Tunsil, and no matter how you feel about it, I felt like he was really, really good. I felt like he was a top 10 tackle. And I'm wondering if they trying to maybe go the route of just have a bunch of average Joes that could kind of get through it.
That ain't going to be good enough for me.
That's why I'm kind of, because like, I mean, we mentioned Cincinnati, like their offensive line never been good.
Yeah.
And they still kind of get away with, you know, getting a little further. So I'm wondering if they using that type of mindset and just kind of fill the blanks in everywhere else.
I mean, it's a fair point, and I think that you
because
can,
you wasn't even good with Tunsil. You wasn't even that good with Tunsil, so I'm better off not paying all this money for one guy.
Certainly, and I think that's the interesting part of this is I think with everybody in this conversation, all up and down the Sports Radio 610 lineup, everybody's cool with making the decision where you move off that money and maybe you can, you know, start to change the culture of that offensive line room with that Tunsil move. I think where we're finding some differences of opinion is, now, how do you move forward? It's like, all right, That particular alternator, because it feels like that's going around 610. That particular alternator don't work, or yeah. it's not right for what we're doing. Take that one out. Mm-hmm. Which one are you putting in? Right? Are you going to the scrapyard and grabbing something from like another used one and throwing it in there? Like, mm-hmm. how do you feel about that? Versus we gonna go down to the insert car parts store of choice, because I don't know which ones sponsor us here on the station, and I don't want to get in trouble. And getting like the top of the line brand new one. I think that those are the things that I'm interested in. And to be fair, right? Right, to cap this off, I do think that this is still good for the long term. The rookies that you get, I think they have the distinct possibility and honestly the probability of being really good offensive linemen for you, to where they are those studs for you. They are those anchor points on the offensive line. Just what is the expectation for them to come immediately and do that in a year where I think you really, really want to be and probably need to be good in 2025? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Wednesday. Appreciate you guys getting involved all the way up and down the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, and also on the Mocam Injury Lawyer live streams. We'll get to you as well. I apologize. We got a little heated in the conversation there. And I imagine this one's going to be up there as well, because Jose Altuve in left field has been the focal point of Astros spring training. And we got our first real life bona fide error. So here we go. Respond in. Are you ready to scrap the Tuve in left field experiment? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Peggy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yep, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Thanks for making us a part of this day for you. A little overcast outside, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. Supposed to clear up.
Okay, cool.
You want to know the weather? Ask a fisherman.
That's fair.
What's the weather?
It's supposed to clear up.
Thank you.
That's all you got.
I think high of 81. Let me check my work here.
Yeah, what's the dew point?
Check your iPhone.
What's the barometric pressure?
Winds are supposed to be probably, I think, 15 to 20.
Okay.
Now I'm going to check my work here.
What's the humidity?
High of 82. I missed it by 1 degree.
Can't be trusted.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, like, do any of us trust meteorologists? All due respect to the meteorologists, I feel like that's a tough
job. I be feeling so bad for them sometimes.
Weather guessers?
When they get a total. No, it's one thing to be off by, 1 degree or something like that. But when you say it's supposed to be clear today and then it just starts storming.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, man, how you going to get out of this?
What a gig, though.
It's a fun gig.
You can be wrong all you want. Doesn't matter.
Why are you talking about me like that? All right. We were just talking about the Texans and the Jonathan Alexander nugget that he dropped in his latest mock draft dispatch, that the Texans are unlikely to sign another starter caliber player in free agency. And I thought I made a pretty nice analogy. I was kind of patting myself on the back, and I said, you know, if the alternator goes out, yeah, you want to get that one out, but you want to get something else in. And I feel like all our car lovers in the audience were like, oh, Reggie's not a car guy. And somebody texted in, they're like, you probably should pivot to a turbo or a part that's actually upgradable. So yeah.
Oh, you said upgrade the alternator?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah. I was like, I was like, you could get a better quality, right? And they're like, nah, dog, you out.
Hey, I just got mine fixed yesterday. Yeah. Got a new one yesterday.
So I bet your wallet is a lot lighter.
Woo wee.
So you already got it done?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm $600 lighter.
Woo. God bless. God bless.
Is that a good price? 713-572-4610. New alternator on a Jeep.
Okay.
I didn't
realize we were going to solicit more car advice today.
I want to know if Figgy got a good deal or not.
Now, to be fair, I was at the crib. So my car was at the crib. So
he came to you.
My car guy came to me.
All right.
Yeah, shout out to my car. Does that change the price?
Yeah. Probably so. Mm-hmm. I mean, instead of just going to a shop. Like, he's driving all the way out there.
Did not change the price? Mm-hmm. What you mean?
It changed the price of the labor.
Oh, okay, the labor.
Yeah.
That's fair. I thought you were talking about the actual part. I was like, better not.
No, he actually got a good deal on the part.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, stay with the flux capacitor. Okay, I like what you're doing there. Flux capacitors, and that's fun to say, too. Another thing that's fun to say is Jose Altuve. Although...
Is it?
Maybe not so much. We finally got the moment that I think we were waiting for, but not optimistically. We were cautiously hoping never came, and it did, which it was going to inevitably. Jose Altuve in left field yesterday, and this was top of the fourth, if memory serves. I should probably look at my notes where I actually wrote this down.
Got the Benny Hill music.
Do that to him. He finally had an active day. Top of the fourth, he actually top of the fourth, he made a great running catch.
He did.
Went back to his left, great jump, you know, great route, makes the grab. Now, he doesn't immediately flip it out of his glove and whip it in the quickness that I would typically hope for an outfielder, but that's to be expected. Bigger glove, different transfer. With all that being the case, you get to the top of the fifth rather, and then this happens.
Altuve is going to have his arm tested, but before he can make the throw, he drops that fly ball. So they were going to tag up on Altuve, and we were going to get a chance to see Altuve try to throw a runner out at home. Instead, he dropped the fly ball. That'll be the Astros' second error of the inning. And with the pitch count building on Spencer Arrighetti, he might not stay in this game.
Okay, so before we get to the questions I had, because this led to more questions than anything, including one that's frankly, you know, very uncomfortable. Let's just be honest. But before we get to that, okay, why did the error happen? One thing that we've been seeing and you know, reading reports about it and seeing games as we've seen in spring training is his arm has been less than ideal. In terms
of the nice way you say it.
Okay.
We'll get to the part.
Well,
man,
nice.
Man, that sucked. No, but it's been less than ideal. So the error occurred. He did kind of round to try to get in front of the ball, you know, backhanded or whatever it was. But you could tell he was trying to get the ball out of his glove, get the ball caught out of his glove and get some momentum to throw. So that's not an error that will just go away. You know what I'm saying? That's not an error that, well, he happened to drop it.
Really?
Everybody happens to drop it. He's going to try to get advantages with, you know, the next throw or the next play from whatever catch he does or doesn't make all year long. Because his arm is not going to get stronger.
Certainly. And there was runners on second and third, no outs. Like he was in that mindset where he was like,
have to get the ball in.
Not only do I have to get the ball in, they know who I am. This is the first time.
This,
yeah,
exactly. That's they the like, mark oh, over we there. Running on him.
Yeah.
And so he's like, no.
Hit
no,
a fly
no.
ball over the left field.
In fact,
hit it to Jose.
That's right. In fact, I bet that within his mind, he was probably like, if I can really gun this thing in, I could probably set the table a little bit on some of these conversations where maybe less guys will want
to. Might
have
to think twice,
right? Where folks will change their perspective of this. So he might have been all up. In fact, I would very much anticipate and likely posit that he was very much in his head like this one needs to be really great. Which you see it a lot of time in sports when you go to the second step without completing the first one, that leaves a lot of room for errors in that way.
So that's my first point. I think it's an important one that maybe, you know, maybe some people aren't thinking of. That's going to be all the time.
I don't
having that approach. No, that he's going to have to put extra thought and effort into the play after the catch.
All right.
Because his arm is not going to get stronger. So that's going to maybe lead to, it wasn't a one-off, I'll put it that way, because, you know, the way that he led into that is going to be the way he's going to lead into a lot of plays. You know what I'm saying? He's going to have fair. More on his throw. He's going to have, you know, more of a thought on where the ball's going to have to go. He knows he's going to be tested.
It's
going to
be people on second and third at some point.
Oh, well, sure. First or whatever. You know, or just third, or just get the ball in on a tag up or something like that. So what I'm saying is, this is not something where, yeah, that happens. Because it does happen, but there are reasons that these things happen.
Well, I think for me, the reason that it happens is he's an inexperienced left fielder.
That's exactly
it. Or outfielder. And so, but the thing about it is he will gain more experience as he plays more games. That one felt like, I think you're right about the approach is going to be something that he deals with a lot. I think he skipped a step. I immediately thought of course, playing wide receiver at the high school level. Nothing major, nothing important. But I always thought about, I very much have been in the place and have seen guys in the place where they're like, yo, someone, a defender's bearing down on me, or I really want to make this spin,
exactly,
or I really
exactly.
want to make this move, and I'm thinking about my next step, and I did not focus on completing, seeing the ball into my hands, and I dropped the football. That's not something that is going to be your, now you are a fumble, hot butter hands all the damn time. It just means, okay, next time I need to recall to, you know, see the ball in first, and then go to those places that I know within my head that I have, okay, the next thing on the depth chart, or on the idea or what I'm trying to do is now I need to get this ball in. I think that those things will still be there for him. He just needs to make sure he sees the ball in. That was him getting ahead of himself, but I don't think that's going to be every single time that he drops the ball in then.
Right, right. But anyway, that's step one. Now let's get to your question here. Are you ready to scrap the Altuve in left field experiment? 713-572-4610 if you're ready to do that. Here's where I went. You can't be. You can't be.
That's be ready.
That's an interesting place. You didn't go to like whether you felt like it. You
right.
just pragmatically because, you cannot.
Because I'm going to answer that question with a question.
Love it.
If Jose Altuve can't play left field and you're ready to scrap it, he can't play second base. So what do you do with him?
I mean, as of right now, you could put him at second base, but I wouldn't love it. Because you,
it's easier to put him back at second base, though.
Well, we saw the numbers, man. And we saw how it was deteriorating.
And, I mean, even we saw Lance McCullers out there. Two ground outs. Like, well, you have so many ground ball pitchers. You need those middle infielders to be on their P's and Q's with the range and the ways that they handle. And, yeah, you're right. But it was deteriorating.
Do you feel like he's better at second base than left field, though? I think that's what it all comes down to.
I think experience and such, the answer would be yes. But this is a team that wants to contend. Like my answer to the, are you ready to scrap the experiment in left field? I don't think you can. Because, and here's the other reason why. And this is the part that can maybe become a very difficult conversation. You owe him $110 million for the next 5 years.
Oh, we talking about the contract.
Put that one in the back pocket.
Hold on.
You got to bring up this man money.
He's here for 5 years.
Oh, you bring up the point. The contract.
The point is, he's going to be here for five.
I'm trying to take that man's money away. That's
five years. Are you? I mean, what do you do with him if he can't play left field?
They said put him on first. Oh, man.
What do you do with him? You got him for 5 years.
I don't want to think about that just yet. Yeah. I'm still with him. I'm still in on Jose Altuve.
I don't want to think about it.
I don't. I really and truly, like, if I'm going to be entirely honest with the audience, I do not want to think about that possibility just yet. But I am sincerely, like, this isn't even from the pragmatic standpoint of where do you put him otherwise. I'm still in the place where I was encouraged by just an inning earlier.
Yeah.
You see him starting to pick up some of the things that we already had. Is he going to be able to get the right routes, get the right jumps? He's doing that. Like, I think this is just another bump in the road of development that he's going to have. We knew he was not going to be an incredible left field defensive player. I think that this was just a little snag and that he will get better. And maybe this is also something where we have to somewhat inoculate ourselves to the natural reaction of an outfielder making some of these errors, understanding that he's not going to be a good defensive outfielder. Mm-hmm. But we might just need to come to terms with the idea that every once in a while, and hopefully fewer and further between, rather, it would be an instance where you have to deal with one of those types of plays happening. But, I mean, It's going to happen less often, I imagine, in the left field than it would in the you know, middle.
Yeah,
of the infield.
I really feel like you can't. He's here, and I don't know if you can trust him at this level at second base. We're getting a few texts about hold your horses. He's going to get better in left field. He's just nervous. He'll be okay. It'll just take time. Are we talking about Altuve or the Texans' offensive line?
What are you doing right now?
Man, come on, man.
What's happening? We just had this conversation in the last segment. You know,
why are you bringing up old stuff?
Why are you being so negative?
I'm not being negative. I mean, that's what we do.
Negative Nancy.
All right. Well, then let me just ask you
I like being able to be in lockstep with you and then change sides.
And then immediately change sides just for the sake of changing sides.
All right. Seems like largely everybody's still in. I felt like this was going to be the inflection point. When you get the first really ugly error, mm-hmm. are people going to jump off the ship? And look, it looks like. And not that this is like a fully
spring training.
It is spring training. And we'll have this other another one of these once we get to regular season baseball.
No, I think we start having questions once it impacts a game.
Right.
Sure. And I didn't necessarily do that in this game either. I mean, look, again, second and third with no outs. Runners were probably going to make it in if we're going to be completely honest. You didn't want it to be in that fashion. But nobody's jumping off, or not very many people. Very, very minimal amount of people jumping off the Altuve at left field experiment. Okay, very good. I'm excited to hear that. Now, coming up next, if that's not something that you were wrong about, I want to find out what is. 713-572-4610 is the text line. Question of the day: who or what were you painfully wrong about? We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Question of the day: who or what were you painfully wrong about? Y'all are already coming through strong on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line, and also the live stream on YouTube and Twitch. Lopez, I'll let you start it off because it seems like you got a few of them that are really fun.
Yeah, I got one that it's always embarrassing to bring up, but it is what it is, Figgy. It is what it is.
Yeah, we're winning them over.
No, you're not. I did that.
Where's the damn bell?
I did that ironically.
That's how it starts. Don't worry about it. We've all done that thing where we're like, oh, this is ironic, and now I'm yelling, hey, whenever somebody tries to draw a foul.
So Nick Wright and I, we went back and forth on this at least 3 years. Like, he just was, that guy stinks. He's awful. And I'm like, man, he won the Heisman Trophy. Mm. He's shown some stuff here and there. That Trent Richardson, man. I'm telling you, that Trent Richardson, he's just ramping up. He's just getting started. You watch. He's going to have a big-time year here pretty soon. No. Trent Richardson sucked. I was so in on Trent Richardson. It was not even
I think a lot of people were, man. I saw that man in training camp. I'm like, that dude is huge.
Yes.
Ain't do nothing.
Oh, Nick won that one. That's for dang sure. And then the other one, I can actually blame someone. It's not my fault.
Nope, you got to blame yourself. But go ahead.
Jimbo Fisher. Okay, so when they hired Jimbo.
Saw that scam from a mile away.
Hey, I got the bridge for sale.
So
interested?
When they hired him, Travis Johnson was here doing something, and I was just shooting the bull with him, and I ended up spending about 15, 20 minutes talking to him about Jimbo, because he played, you know, obviously there at Florida State with Jimbo. And he just, I mean, he sold me, like, I bought it all. I bought all the extra, you know, pieces. I bought the warranty. I bought the, I got the add-ons, you know, that you really don't need and all this other stuff. Because I actually had, like, okay, so I like him. I know what he's done, you know. And he talked for 20 minutes about Jimbo and talked about he'll win a national championship within 3 years. That program is set. And don't you worry about it. The players are going to be, you know, fumbling over themselves to play for him. They're going to love him, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I wasn't right about
that. That man drained the Florida State. Like, Florida State.
Yes.
The recruiting hotbed that was Florida State. Mm-hmm. He left, and you looked, and you're like, where was all the talent? And once Jameis left, mm-hmm. that offense didn't look all that hot, did it?
Not that much.
The quarterback whisperer that was Jimbo Fisher. Yeah, all right. This is actually not even a sports one, but I think it's really strong on – I was just – woefully, just painfully wrong about when the prospect of a tablet came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why would you want that? Yeah. Right, we've gotten to a point with technology where you got laptops or you got computers, desktops. If you want to have a screen that's of a good size, you go there. if you want portability, these phones are in your pocket. They do all the things. I was like, what is the point of a tablet? it's this mid-sized thing that you can't put in your pocket, but also you don't have a keyboard on. People like keyboards. People like mobility. It has neither of those things. This is not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it now. Babies are being raised by these things.
They sure are. Yeah.
Like,
sure
I'm just are. Like, how was I so wrong about that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently, I don't know people well enough. The sports one that came up, I think, Figgy, this one is yours, so I'll let you get to it. But you mentioned it, and I was like, oh, I was so wrong.
Yeah. I forgot what year this was. Was this 2018 draft in the NFL? I was totally wrong about Josh Allen.
That's right.
I'm like, nah, man. People was talking about the Browns possibly taking him.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing the word project, and, you know, we're not sure. He played at Wyoming and all. I'm like, nah, stay away from this guy, man. Stay away. Hey, I'd rather have Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, who actually played against some teams.
Sam Darnold went ahead of him. Baker Mayfield went ahead of him. It was and Josh Rosen was just three picks behind him.
Well,
so.
there was good reason for all those dudes going ahead of him.
Yeah,
he was the prototypical big old arm, all these tools, but not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And when in the history of the NFL up until 2018 had you seen somebody take an inaccurate quarterback and make them accurate? It's one of those things that you were like, this is a non-negotiable. We need accuracy in a quarterback.
Or since Anthony Richardson.
And that's the thing is, I was like, oh, Josh Allen, like, you just, this is not something we do. This is another one of those things where talent evaluators, again, get too bold on what they think they can do. And they just like, oh, these tools, I can make it into something. But it's like, no, they need to be talented.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh Allen was like, I'm going to magically become a different person. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then one, my bad. I don't know how I got this wrong, but I think I was right in my process. And two, now people are going to get fired behind trying to think that they can do this again.
Yeah.
And hello, Chris Ballard.
Yeah.
You will be the first one on these lines because you were like, oh, let's just get the big toolsy dude with the big old arm. We'll make him accurate. No, that was one magic trick. In fact, Brian Daboll got his Giants job off of that one magic trick that we think that he's going to do again. They were like, you could fix Daniel Jones. And I was like, no, he can't.
No, he can't.
And apparently he couldn't. Yeah. Shout out to now Indianapolis Colt, Daniel Jones, in fact. Some other ones that have come in. I love this one. 346 was like, I got a whole clip of him for you. Johnny Football, Mark Appel.
Oh man.
Mark Appel.
John Singleton. Vince Young, which someone else came in on the text line and said, I still don't think I was wrong about this one. The idea that the Texans should have drafted Vince Young and that it would have been all
you great. You were. Mario was the best pick of that draft. You can go back and look at anything you want. But, you know, it's still, you know, people, you know, he did have a little bit of a blip there of success. So
I got an NBA one.
Okay.
I thought Michael Olamacandy
was going to
be a beast.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people probably thought Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought Ben Simmons.
I feel
Simmons.
Like people just kind of gave him the crown before he...
Sure.
Because I felt like he barely played at LSU.
Mm-hmm. And for reasons that were concerned... Like, they're kind of the same reasons now. It's like some of the mental aspects of this were like, oh, man.
Yeah.
He might not love basketball or what have you, those types of things. Like, and you're finding yourself in this place where he's sitting out games for various reasons, passing up the ball when he has the opportunity to go and, like, be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we probably should have seen that. But he was really big and really talented and passed the ball really well.
I don't know how, and this is way back, but I don't know how wrong I was because I think a lot of people thought this. Jamarcus Russell.
Don't. Yeah, dog, you were wrong. I'm sorry.
I think everyone was. I don't know.
Of course.
I don't think a lot of people thought, no, he's going to be a bust. I really don't. I think dude had a cannon.
Yeah.
Like beyond, you know, beyond Aaron Rodgers, beyond, you know, just like a cannon, just a head case.
How are we supposed to know that he had those types of addiction issues?
Yeah. Wasn't he doing the purple drink and all other stuff?
That's right.
Yeah.
Some other things that have come in. They said painfully, 832, painfully wrong about my first three wives, which maybe, but also I feel like there's another thing maybe you were wrong about there because three is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You were wrong in that number of times, huh? Some other things that somebody said never been wrong. I appreciate that.
Jesus Christ texting in on the text line.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Bryce Young, someone I misvaluated. Bryce Young, I feel like I just missed, I forgot one of the major things, which is if you want to be a great quarterback in this league, you got to do something incredible.
Yeah.
And
that's totally true.
It felt like Bryce Young, he got a lot of things he do good, and I don't know if there's something that's like a standout talent that he has.
You know, at least be big.
Fair enough. Double whammy. They said they wanted Nick Farley over J.J. Watt.
Sure.
Yikes.
Yeah, and that's
a lot of people felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
713, fair enough. Deshaun Watson, in so many ways.
Yeah. We were
so
all fleeced
ways.
On that one.
Yeah.
Dog, before that's what made it so crazy. Like, we were, remember all of the, like, good interpersonal, like, goodwill stories that he had?
100%.
Hey, we thought he was, like, we went from thinking he was just, like, the bee's knees, right? Yeah. Like, he was just the kindest.
God-fearing,
yeah. Bible study quarterback who was also really, really good at football. And the rest the rest of the organization was drawing him down. And then all of a sudden, here come allegations that open the door to, oh, he is none of that, really, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, speaking of that, the Deshaun Watson, I thought Deshaun Kaiser was the better Deshaun in that draft. Boy, was I wrong.
How about this one? People are still wrong on this and refuse to acknowledge that they are. Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, they were wrong then, and there are still some people, nah.
That's one of the ones I'm very happy to say that I was right about. Yeah. And it was it was just off the strength that people were like, yo, this is not a pro quarterback. And I was like, do y'all know who Bobby Petrino is?
Yeah.
Do y'all know what kind of offense
he runs? You should play receiver.
And you were talking about this, Figgy Ellis-Wilms. Wims came in here. Yeah. And what did he say?
He said he would take Lamar Jackson number one overall.
Well, he was right.
And even me, I was like, man, that's a little crazy.
He was right.
Nah, he was 100% right.
Although I guess you could say Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, but still, dog, number two.
How many MVPs Lamar Jackson got?
Yeah.
I don't think nobody would have thought that.
Mm-hmm. No. And fair enough, Marcus on the YouTube, wrong about Shingun, thought he would be trash. And, I mean, he's found a way to be very, very, very good for this Houston Rockets team. All right.
Are you wrong about Jalen Green?
TBD.
He's not ready to take that. Get after him on the text line, 713-572-4610. All right.
Based on what?
You're in the loop right now.
I thought he's going to be similar to Ja Morant. That was my take. Yeah. I guess that was my hot take.
Yeah.
Ooh, they said, debate is over. Who is the better quarterback? Leaf is Manning. All right, guys. Royce White. No, I remember Royce White.
You're a politician now, ain't he?
Mm-hmm.
Attempted politics. All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL where the Falcons are keeping Kirk Cousins. We'll talk about that and more next.